Welcome to Dobby Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. I've got Max and Paul hanging out with me today. Paul, how are you?
Cool, man. Great that week. That was a great victory at the weekend, so that's put everyone in a good mood.
That's right. That's very true. And Max, podcasters, you can't actually see Max because that's how podcasts work. But Max is wearing a nice Juventus top right now, which is a little bit fitting considering our opponents this coming weekend. Max, did you get to watch that? Did you get to watch that last night?
Do you know what? I haven't. I've only seen like highlights of the days gone by Champions League football, which I literally missed all the game. But I didn't. I was either busy or doing something else, so I couldn't sit down and watch the games in real time. But some absolute crackers. I'm gutted I missed it. And of course, in particular, events with Man United.
Yeah, I got to watch some of that one, just because I knew we were playing them coming up. And it's weird. They're such a strange team. They really are, because in streaks you're like, wow, they're potent. And then you're like, what are they doing there? You know?
I heard against Juventus they look better than they have in weeks gone by. So,
And yet Juve could have possibly scored more goals.
Interesting. So, very interesting.
Yeah. So, guys, let's go ahead and summarize the show for everyone who's listening. We're going to start with a preview of the United match coming up on Sunday. And then we'll segue comfortably into a starting 11 segment, trying to figure out who Silva's going to go with. And then we're going to talk about the beautiful bearded man who started for us this past weekend. No, I'm not talking about Max. He didn't start for us this weekend. Get it straight. Gomez. Andre Gomez. That guy just seems wonderful. And he played well. So we're just going to... It's really just going to be an appreciation segment, I think. unless someone's got some negative stuff to say about that guy. Good luck. And then we'll finish up with If You Know Your History, the Everton quiz segment that will pit Paul up against Max. Paul, the man who gave Max his first true L. So let's see if we get a repeat of that performance, because I tell you what, we are literally just hearing every one of Max's iPod tunes that he's got. We'll see who comes out on top of that one. It's going to be a number conundrum, which is a new type of segment that John, the Toffee Blues quiz master, has put together. Good luck, gentlemen. That's what I'll say. But let's move. Let's go to the United preview. So current form right now, United are 10th in the table. Not really sure if that is indicative of their quality. But maybe indicative of the current form of some of their players. They got 14 points, 4, 2, and 3. They recently lost to Juve 1-0. And that's a competitive game against a very good team. They also drew with Chelsea 2-2. Another competitive game against a good team. So, guys, just some opening thoughts, and then I'll go into their possible starters. Opening thoughts about United, how they've been looking lately, So, Paul, your turn, man. What do you got on United?
United, they're an enigma this season, aren't they? I mean, you look at the players they've got in that squad, and you think that team should be absolutely nowhere near where it is. It should be top six easily, with the forward line they've got especially, but it just seems to be the way with Jose, doesn't it? He just goes there, he does okay or well for a season or two, and then the wheels come off in the third season and he's usually gone. And it's just the same old pattern with him. The players look like they don't back him, or not enough of them do anyway. They don't want to play for him. And the man himself is just getting stroppier and childish and starting more fires than he's putting out. So, United, I mean, I think they will bounce up. I don't think they're going to stay where they are too long, but they are definitely, without a doubt, the weakest member of the herd when it comes to the top six. And if we're going to be looking to crack the top six this season at all, United's the team that we've got to be finishing above, because no matter how talented their squad is, it's just not bubbling in the right direction, and they look like they just haven't got any plan or any direction or just any pride. I don't like saying that, but the way some performances they put in, just out of professional pride, you'd think that they would not play that badly, but it just looks like they're all just waiting for the day that Jose's not there anymore, and they're not going to put any effort in until he's gone, which is a sad indictment of their professionalism, but it's Everton's job to take advantage of that this weekend. We've got to be beating them, or at the very, very least, playing very, very well and not losing.
Max?
I think that was eloquently put by Paul. I do think that they are probably the weakest team in that top six, and definitely we should be giving them a run for the money. I think they're an absolute media circus of a club, and it's become quite embarrassing to watch, because growing up under Sir Alex Ferguson, it was either them or Chelsea winning the league every single season, and ever since Sir Alex Ferguson's left, they've just kind of been on this downward spiral where the business activities of Man United as a brand have kind of overshadowed Man United as a club. And as a product of that, I think the team, the supporters, the management, the board, I think there's just such a detachment that runs through that club at the moment, and it hinders very much on how the team are performing. And I think, as Paul underlined clearly there, that the players are just not delivering on this potential that they've supposedly got. Obviously, we've seen individual players, particularly of their attacking facade, that, you know, Lukaku, look how many goals he scored for us. Look how well Alexis Sanchez did at Arsenal. You know, they've got really high quality players. They put together in a team shouldn't look as awkward as they do. They are such an awkward team to watch. I think they're shoring up at the back. I think if you look at that result against Juventus, I heard Lindelof played pretty well, which kind of bodes well for them at the back going forward. But definitely in terms of attacking talent, they should be retaining a hell of a lot more goals than what they actually do. I always love getting one over on United. I love beating them. I love embarrassing them. But Everton against the top six away, that's a realm of its own, I think. I think form kind of goes out the window, and it's Everton against their own mental capabilities, really. I think we need to kind of overcome whatever this is that causes us to freeze and choke up away on the big stage, and this is a great opportunity to take hold of it.
Yeah, there are, I would say, the club that you see the most supporters of here in America is United. And it's as far as English club. And it's, I don't even think it's really very close. People have been supporting for a long time. And there are some nice guy United supporters. But I tend to see the other kind more often than not here, because it's the ones where they're like, I want to pull for a team that wins a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's the bandwagon mentality. You know, and that's not everybody. You know, we have some United supporters that watch the show, listen to the show. So I don't want to sit there and condemn an entire fan base based on location or anything like that. But, you know, I've interacted with the obnoxious United fan before. I have. And it's just, I always associate them as being the big guy. The big guy that you want to beat. You want to knock him off the perch. You know, they may not be in first right now. I don't care. They're a huge club. I want to beat them.
I don't think the big guy exists anymore, to be perfectly honest. I think it literally is. You've got this top six, and to be honest, I think with the exception of obviously Chelsea now, Man City last season, and Chelsea are looking pretty strong this season, but honestly, I don't think that the standout, like, I don't think any team's a mile ahead of the other in terms of that big six. Obviously, what's going on with Jose, as Paul said again, this third season syndrome where the wheels just seem to fall off. I'm a huge fan of Jose Mourinho. You know, his arrogance coming over from Porto, his kind of smarminess in front of the cameras, I kind of latched onto that, and I was a big fan of it when he was at Chelsea. Obviously, he went on to success as Inter Milan, and it didn't work out picture perfect at Real Madrid. I don't know. I think just the picture that's being painted of Mourinho is this villain. I don't think it's true. I don't think the players are delivering what they should. However, a statement that rings true when it comes to Mourinho is if your one claim is that you win no matter what the cost is, when you're not winning, things are going to go south. And by the looks of things right now, like Man United, it's just not well at all. The atmosphere isn't good, and everyone who goes to Old Trafford must be thinking, oh, we've got to capitalise on this. And obviously, if you're looking at momentum, our momentum's got to be, you know, rocketing into this. And we, you know, I don't want to call us the favourites because I don't think we are at all. But in terms of momentum, I think, you know, we've got to make that continue.
Oh, Max, I want to clarify. I agree as far as the big guy in terms of financial resources are more spread out now, which means that there are. But I guess I always still am going to associate them with that just because of the past, I guess.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of lose that mentality. And especially when you see just so many supporters here, you know, it's like, you know, my kid has another kid in his class. There's six, right? And we saw this kid, and he's walking around wearing a United kit at school. And I was like, Bennett, that kid must like soccer. You should go talk to him. You know? You know? And so it turns out he's in his class. The kid has no clue what's going on.
No.
I don't even think he can name a player on his team. And that's what I'm talking about. It's the, hey, we wear this shirt when we're winning kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big jock on campus, so all the girls fawn over, but everybody looks at him and thinks, you're not that good. Seriously, where are you going to go when you graduate? Do you know what I mean? It's what it is. You know, they think they're the big guy still. They think they're the big guy, but they aren't. They haven't come close to winning the league since Ferguson left. They've picked up some trophies, you know, fair play to them. But they've not put a title challenge in at all. They've not won many derbies against City, I don't think. I mean, they won one last season, but how many have they won since Ferguson left in the City battles they've had?
I am not too sure, but I can't imagine.
Not many. No, they haven't beat Liverpool a lot the last few years. I remember they beat Martial, and I think they might have won last season with Rashford. But you're talking like in a period of 5 years, they've got like maybe one or two wins against City, one or two wins against Liverpool. Under Ferguson, they would go into every single one of those games the outright favourites, whether it was home or away. They just don't seem to have that air of superiority over them anymore. Their fans carry it with them, but their players don't, and the supporters and the opposition teams who play them don't feel it. So United are just having an identity crisis, I think.
Yeah, when I watch them play, I don't see a lot of passion. I don't see a lot of playing with your heart. I see a lot of you're making the runs, you're doing what you're supposed to. You're technically playing, but it's not. You don't see a lot of people smiling.
Mm.
It's very. It reminds me, and I would say the term workmanlike. You know, because it's like, hey, we're here to do our job, and there we're doing it.
It's Jose Mourinho, you know? Like. It's systematic. It's methodical, which works. But when you've got Manchester United, who pride themselves on an identity of playing Man United type football, it confuses me, the matchup. To me, it was quite obvious. I can't remember what year it was. It was when Jose was at Real Madrid. I remember Real Madrid played Man United in the Champions League, and Mourinho was all over Sir Alex, you know, putting his arm around him, whispering in his ear. From then, to me, it seemed like Jose Mourinho always wanted that Man United job. I just think it's come too late, and at a point where the talent that Man United have aren't necessarily a great matchup for what Jose Mourinho is now. I think he's kind of changed to the manager, and I think that's becoming quite apparent in how he's conducting himself. But I genuinely think that the big battle here is with Everton and the inferiority complex that we've got when we go away to these big grounds. Last time we won there was Oviedo, baby, wasn't it? That goal in the last 4 minutes, I'll never forget that. But we haven't really come close to having another kind of memory like that at Old Trafford. And if we can make it a theme under Marco Silva, who was going away to these big rounds and picking up points this early on in his Everton career, I think that stands us in really good stead for the future when it comes to thinking of European qualification, because that really, on the road at big sides, is where he'll have been told our record needs to improve.
Possible starters. De Gea, Ashley Young, Smalling, Lindelof, Shaw, Matic and Pogba in the middle, Rashford, Mata, Martial, Lukaku up front. Paul, when you think about that lineup and you think about the players that could come off the bench for United, who do you think, who's one player that you think, okay, let's watch out for that guy?
So many, isn't there? I mean, I don't want to say Lukaku because he's in awful form, but just it's Lukaku against Everton, isn't it? And he hasn't scored at Man United. He hasn't scored at Old Trafford since March, I believe. So if there's ever going to be a game where Lukaku is going to get off the mark and look like the Lukaku old again, it's going to be against us. But they've got Martial, I rate very, very highly. I think United would be crazy to let him go, and it looks like he's probably going to. I read something on social media earlier on that said that he has apparently rejected a new deal with Manchester United. I really like him as a player. Rashford's great too in his own right. He's always great for a goal in, you know, sort of tight games. He's always usually a difference maker, goal scorer. Alex Sanchez coming off the bench, again, another player who looks like he can't buy a goal at the minute, and it's just, we're Everton, aren't we? We just always seem to give these players a helping hand. And they've got other players who, like Juan Mata as well. Do you remember when we got linked with him a few years ago? I'd have absolutely loved that, Juan Mata. And we've seen against Newcastle the other day, he is a great impact player. Maybe he doesn't have the same effect on games that he does when he starts from 90 minutes. I know he's past 30 now, so he's maybe a bit of a faded force when he starts from the beginning of games. But if they bring him on with half an hour, I can't think of a more dangerous player in the Premier League when to bring him off the bench, rather. So they've got so much attacking talent, you think that squad should be putting 3 goals past anybody. So our defence, they're really, really, really going to need to step up and be on their game and not lose concentration at all. We nearly managed it a couple of years ago when I believe they scored that like last-second penalty, I believe it was, and we defended so well, Jagielka and Williams, at the games of the career, of the season, and we just lost it right to the end. I want to see that type of performance, backs to the wall, not in the sense that we're just sitting deep and defending and doing nothing, but just everyone be switched on, everyone be organised, everyone be talking to one another, because we just give this team a second, then you've got to believe they're going to put a goal past us.
Max, any... Which of the danger men are you think stand out for you?
The Lukaku, just straight off the bat, really. He knows how we work, probably. He'll know what to do, just to stick one past us, and I'm sure he'll cup his ear to the away fans or something ridiculously stupid like that again. Listen, every single player that Paul just mentioned, you know, Martial, Mata, Rashford, they're all players of great individual quality. Just to look somewhere else, a real point of contention, that the centre midfield, and I know it's been said to death that Pogba doesn't operate as well in this two with Matic as he did, say, for when he was at Juventus with the three and the freedom that he got in that three. But it'd be very Everton-like for us to overlook that, and then for the pair to have the games of their lives and click. So I think in order for Everton to kind of nullify anything that comes our way, we've got to play this high-pressing game, because I think each of our best performances this season have come when the likes of Idrissa Gueye, you know, right on the heels of absolutely anyone who's got the ball, chasing everything down. And I think that would be a really interesting battle to see him come up against Pogba, see if he can hit Pogba early and see how Pogba responds to that. Fingers crossed that kind of shake him up and we can try to take the game by the scruff of the neck, because I'd love us to take the game to them, because I remember that game when Oviedo scored the winner and we were the better side. You know, it's indicative of, you come at them early and you impose a threat on them. I think they wet the bed, to use that expression. I think they just panic. So I think, you know, if we can hit them early and stay in there, then we've got a chance.
based on the way Lukaku's playing right now, I realize we're the team that teams like to break their streaks on. But I watched Lukaku play yesterday. He looks bulky. He almost looks like he's hit the weight room too hard. He doesn't look like he's got the same quickness and explosion the way he used to. I realize he's still a good finisher, usually. He just hasn't been very clinical lately. That could stop. The player that really bugs me for United is Martial. I just feel like he does the things Lukaku doesn't. He's got a good touch. He's got good vision. He's silky when he's got the ball around the box. He keeps close possession. He's just he's a player I don't like playing against. I wish he played for us and make that happen.
He's definitely not older than 23.
So he signed him when he was like 19.
Yeah, I remember when he signed for them, and there was a big hoo-ha made over the fee that they were paying for him with him being so young, and that just made me laugh because, like, look how young he is. You can give him 4 years and he can still retain on that investment, mm-hmm. and unless he goes, I still probably think he will retain on the investment.
If he goes from there, then I hope Marcel Brands is on the phone immediately because, oh, mate, I'd love him. I'd absolutely love him. I know we probably haven't got a prayer because there'll be a big Champions League close, but come on, mate, we got Bernard, and no one would have predicted we'd have got Bernard. So come on, Marcel, at least try, because that lad's dynamite. He just glides past players, and I think he'd be absolutely brilliant. And I think he suits being a number nine. Predominantly, that's what he played under Van Gaal in his first season, and that's when he got his highest goal return. They usually just stick him out left now. They always say Rashford's a central striker who gets stuck on the left, when I actually think he's better out wide. I think Martial's actually the player who should be played inside of anyone. And if Martial does leave United, I think that's where he'll spend the bulk of his career.
So, Max, prediction time.
1-1.
Of course. Yeah. Paul, what's your prediction?
2-0
Wow.
Richarlison and Tosin. I think Tosin will start.
Hey. Spoilers. Spoilers on the starters. Paul's teasing information from the next segment. Max has 1-1. Paul has 2-0. And I was saying 1-1 as well. That's why when Max said 1-1, I started laughing, because there's always somebody and I pick the same thing they pick every time.
just realism, isn't it, really?
I want to see us have a game against a strong side, you know, where we I thought we looked for long stretches. We took it to Arsenal, but we still managed to lose the game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We didn't have our strongest team out there either. So
no, we didn't. So I want to see before I start predicting these tough road wins, I want to see us actually do it. You know, I want to confirm that our mentality is where it's supposed to be. Because if I just judge it based on the past, we are there. We look hungry. We look up for it every time we play now. And United doesn't necessarily look like that. However, they're still United, and they are talented, and Jose is their coach, and anything can happen. So, all right, well, that's our predictions. We'll see. If you want to know what we think Marco's going to do in terms of starters, check out the next segment, all right, because that's coming. So we just finished giving our match preview, but now we're going to talk about who we think Marco is going to start this weekend. So, gentlemen, I foresee, if not exact same lineups, some very similar ones. All right. I'm going to start with Max, because I have a feeling Paul may switch it up a little bit. So I'm going to start with Max, and then we'll kind of gradually move our way to little old me. So, Max, who's starting this weekend for our guys?
Pickford, Coleman, Zouma, Keane, Dina, Gomez, Gay, Sigurdsson, Bernard, Richarlison, Walcott.
Anything surprising there to me? No.
can't change a winning team like that. I genuinely don't think there's one change that should be made. I know there's an argument for Tosin to come in, but really, after seeing the impact that he can have fresh legs off the bench, you know, he could pop up at the right place at the right time later on in the game, but coming on off the bench. You know, it's all about game management and being wary of when to make the right substitutions, as Marco pulled off to an absolute T against Crystal Palace. So if he can do it again against United, I'll have no complaints.
So the way I see it, looking at your lineup and looking at mine and thinking about Paul, what Paul might do, I see there's three points of discussion that we can possibly discuss in just a minute, okay? So okay. We'll get to that. Okay, so Paul, your starters, please.
Pickford in goal, Coleman at right back, Zouma and Keane at centre back, Dean at left back, Gomez and Gay in the middle, Sigurdsson number 10. On the wing, left wing, I think he'll play Richarlison. On the right, I think he may play Luckman. And up front, I think we may try to Tosin. So I see Bernard and Walcott coming out the team. I mean, personally, I don't want to see Bernard come out. He didn't have the best of games against Palace. He wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination. I think it just didn't quite come off for him a lot of the time. And I think he'll try Richarlison back on the left. I mean, it works in certain games, but him being the lone striker didn't really work against Palace. We got the goals after Tosin came on, and we had a more of a focal point in attack. And Tosin, to be fair to him, scored. So I think he's justified if he says to the manager, I've come off the bench at Goodison in the last two games. I've scored both times. I think I deserve to come back into the lineup. And I can see that happening. I can see Silva maybe changing up a little bit. And Luckman again, Walcott's not had the best of times recently. I mean, again, he's not been poor, I wouldn't say. He's not had any really bad games. He just hasn't been productive a lot of the time. And Luckman came off the bench and made a great impact. So Luckman and Tosin, I think, have got valid arguments for saying, right, we deserve a start now. And I think I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the lineup, if Silva makes those changes to try and throw United a curveball. So I can see Luckman and Tosin coming in, and I like to think it will come off and it will work, and we'll get the 3 points.
So to be super boring, shocker, Pickford, Coleman, Keane, Zouma, Dean, Gay, Gomez, Walcott, Sigurdsson, Bernard, Richarlison, it's the same lineup that Max said, all right? However, I also wrote down the three conversational points that I think one has been sort of ruled out. Would we all agree that Mina will probably not start the game, since we've had a pretty solid center-back partnership over this little run, and probably not time to switch it up? We all in agreement on that?
Yeah. I'd absolutely love for him to come off the bench or something, grab a late header.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Send the Evertonians into raptures and start singing that Baby Shark song.
I'm feeling that. I hope so.
I'd love it, but I think Keane and Zouma have just been too good together to separate them. So
that was I definitely want to see Mina get some minutes though, if it's possible at some point soon, because have we got Chelsea away coming up?
Yeah, so
that's definitely on the horizon, and Zouma's not going to be able to play in that game, and I don't want that to be the first time Mina's thrown in. I don't want his first few minutes in the Premier League to be away at Chelsea in the form they're in. I think it's a difficult one, considering how well we're playing at the back, but I do think Mina has to be put in the team sooner rather than later.
Good point.
I'll be flabbergasted if he starts, but I think Silva will definitely have it in his head that he has to get him on the pitch very, very soon.
So the other two points of conversational points, Tosin, okay, Tosin possibly starting, that would not be surprising. All right, he came in and he produced. I think a lot of that is going to, I think, I'm wondering, do you take the, if you're Silva, do you take the point of view that let's not change anything, we just won, we're rolling, we're getting some chemistry now? and being able to put Tosin in provides such a dramatic change. You know, he's a big difference to Richarlison. Less pace, better hold-up play. Or do you think about the fact that United, if the United decide they're up for it, they may be on the front foot for a little while?
Yeah.
And his hold-up play could allow us to kind of get forward if we're having to kind of, if we're backed up a little bit, you know?
I'd rather Richarlison on the counter-attack, though. If we are going to be kind of boxed in to our own half, I'd much rather have that pace of Richarlison on the breakaway. And I think, given the kind of the clumsiness of United's defence at times, I think we can win a few fouls possibly there. I definitely think Tosin plays and gets involved at some point. You know, I think Paul put it there. You know, you can't score two home games on the bounce, go on to win the game. You know, you've definitely got a claim to start. You know, you can go to the manager and say, play me. You know, he got every right to. But I think we're going to have to concede the possession away at Old Trafford. The more speed, the better.
Paul, you look like you wanted to say something.
No, I see where Max is coming from. On a big pitch like Old Trafford, you are going to need legs, especially in the other end of the pitch where their goal is. You're going to need guys who are going to carry the ball up the field. And yeah, I think that definitely suits Richarlison up front. But there's another, if you look at it from another angle, I think that there's going to be moments in that game where the ball's going to fall to us in the box and we just need someone to kind of have the poise and keep their calm and get a shot away. And I think that would suit Tosin more than Richarlison. So I think there's a good case of both. If we get it up the field and we're having an attack and we cross the ball in, who do you trust to get your head on it? Or who do you trust to have the kind of awareness to be in the right areas when we get our moments? Because we will have check moments in this game. I don't believe we're going to go there and just not cross the halfway line. No chance. We are going to have chances to score, but as Max said, they are going to be. I do anticipate them really coming at us for a spell, and we're going to need someone who can get the ball on the break and get us right up the field. So, yeah, there's strong cases for both. But I do see Richarlison coming in and starting, because I think he wants Richarlison back on the left. I think it didn't quite work last week for him, so I think he'll be eager to get Richarlison on the left. And sadly for Bernard, I think he'll be the player who drops out for this week at least. I don't think he'll. I think Bernard will be in our strongest 11 going forwards.
Additionally, Walcott, if you've got Lookman starting. And that's the third point. I think the most vocal complaints about our squad in the previous match were against Walcott and maybe a few for Bernard. But Walcott, you know, one-on-one with a keeper. Didn't work out too well. And when Lookman came in, he looked good. Mm-hmm. Looked really good. He looked alive. He looked awake. Looked like he cared. Mm. That is the main thing. Looked like he cared. You know, yeah. It was nice. He looked like he wanted to be there. I don't think will happen yet in terms of starting. Tosin and Lookman, I could see it happening, though. I just wonder if Silva wants to give Lookman a start at Old Trafford for his first start in a while.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like I could see Tosin starting before I could see Lookman starting.
Yeah.
Just because Tosin, he's played a little bit more high-profile matches. He's older. He's a little more on the clinical side for the most part. You could argue against that with Tosin's early season form, but whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. But if we see Tosin Lookman starting, man, wouldn't shock me at all. Mm. That's why, Paul, when you were rattling off your starters, I was thinking, yeah, that could happen. You know, sometimes people do that and you're like, what? Stecklenburg, you're nuts, you know? But but with these, it would not be surprising because Tosin really is, should be part. Remember what we were talking about, not just having a starting 11, but having like a starting 14 or 15 that can kind of interchange. That's called having a squad, right? So
yeah. But in terms of Lookman, I know it just might just be me saying, or I much prefer seeing players come off the bench, but pace-wise, in terms of their fullbacks, Antonio Valencia and Luke Shaw, two very quick players, I'd much rather Lookman come on once they've burnt out a bit. I don't want him starting against them from scratch, because I've got a feeling, kind of, I think if they're quicker to the ball than him within the first 15, 20 minutes, I don't know, that may affect in the long run. He might shy away from the ball or whatever, but I just think that speaks volumes. You look at what he did against Crystal Palace. Come on, change the game. I think he got it within him to do it against United as well.
And I was going to say, it's probably going to be Ashley Young.
I think
Valencia is either injured or something. He hasn't been playing as of late.
Yeah, so. still very.
Regardless. Point still stands.
Yeah.
And I could see, you know, the interesting thing, though, I can see Walcott on the side going up against Luke Shaw.
Mm.
I feel like Walcott is just way faster.
Mm.
You know, I feel like he could burn him on the inline, burn him to the inline, get a cross off. I could see that happening.
Having his best season, though. Luke Shaw's having his best season at Man United so far.
Hmm.
I see your point. I don't want to get me hopes too high, but I definitely think we can give them a run for the money.
I mean, yeah. Shaw is playing well enough to have gotten a new contract, yeah?
Yeah.
So somebody at United is smelling what he's cooking. I just keep going with the rock. Why do I keep doing that? Can't help it. I just like it. I can't help it. Anyway. but I think, and conversely, I would be curious to see how Martial and Rashford will fare against Coleman and Dean. You know what I mean? Because Coleman and Dean, whose best assets and traits are not speed and quickness. Mm. You know, they're intelligent, they're good players, they're solid defenders, and they're pretty good, solid going forward. But, I mean, Rashford is just liquid speed.
Yeah.
He's just crazy fast. So
yeah,
I want to see how that works out. You were going to say something, Paul. I accidentally cut you off.
No. I was just going to add, Coleman's really going to need to have a strong game against Rashford, because he's been out of form, and as you said, Rashford just seems to be a player who is a difference maker during tight games, isn't he? So Coleman,
will it be Rashford or Martial?
I don't know. They kind of change around, don't they, sort of thing?
Yeah,
that's probably
one will start on the left, and they'll, after 20 minutes, they'll move around. It's just, they interchange, but as you said, the liquid speed, the full of trickery, the both of them. And Coleman hasn't been in the best of form. He's going to have to use all his Snow's experience. Otherwise, I think they're going to get a lot of joy down that left-hand side with those two.
Yeah. All right. So, anything else about our starting 11, guys?
Nope.
So, I just want to add, in this recent run of form, there have been comments on YouTube, I've been told, that my house is probably a wreck. They're right. My house is a total disaster zone right now because I haven't been cleaning after matches. Because I haven't had bad feelings. So let's keep it that way. All right? Let's keep my house just nasty. All right? Let's do that. All right? When you have two kids, sometimes it's just going to happen.
Mm.
But so I guess that's it for our starting 11 versus United. We're going to follow that up with an appreciation segment of Andre Gomez. Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. Paul, Max, arranged in some fashion, we're making a pyramid just for you. Gentlemen, we are here to talk about a beautiful man who came in this past Sunday and lived up to expectations, not just with his finely manicured beer and perfectly, you know, toned and arranged hair. But also he came in and was a settling presence in the midfield. Was a distributor, played quickly. One of the things, there was a quote by Silva talking about Gomez saying he should improve our build-up play and help us play faster. Okay? And I feel like you saw that. Okay, he plays quickly. There is a, it's almost, he has an idea of where he wants to go next with the ball. It's impressive. He's constantly thinking. He clearly knows the game. Paul, you want to start off on some opening thoughts about Andre Gomez?
He's too sexy for his shirt. But when I watching him play the other day,
that's my era. What are you doing? That's my time.
Yeah, it was a big shock to see him start, wasn't it? I didn't see that at all when we were picking the teams last week. I thought he was great. I mean, he hadn't played for so long. To come in and play that great. I mean, okay, he didn't set the world on fire. There was not anything. One standout thing that was brilliant, it was just everything was so neat, everything was so tidy. He's got such a quick mind and quick feet to go with it, which is not always the case with central midfield players. It just seemed like, as you said, he just knows what's going on around him and he knows constantly what he wants to do. He doesn't ever look kind of like he's caught in two minds at all, and that's brilliant to see. We have another central midfielder who just flows so perfectly, and it will make a massive difference if we can get him fully firing. Every player has got a sort of baseline level of performance. And if that's his baseline level of performance, where he's coming into a side where he's never played a first team game for them before, he's been out injured for a little while, he's clearly very rusty. If that's his baseline, then, oh, my, we're in for a real treat with this lad, because he looks really, really good. And he looks so crisp. I can't wax lyrical about him enough. He looks really, really good. And to top it all off, he looks like he's a brilliant human being as well, because I've seen the videos on social media, I'm sure everyone else, of him getting involved with Everton in the community and looking like he genuinely loves what he's taking part in. He doesn't look like he's just been asked to go along and he's just there for the sake of it. He looks like he really, really loves getting involved with young fans, mixing with the supporters, enjoying the city, you know, just really, really inserting himself into the club and making himself feel at home. So I love Andre Gomez, and I can't wait to see more. And I think he's a brilliant guy, and he's absolutely sexy.
It's a shame you weren't more positive, Paul.
Hello.
This is beautiful. I might cry. Max, what do you think?
What's he just said? That, you know, what's there left to say? I think. A massive thing, Jerry, what you said earlier, he knows where he wants to take the ball. Like, he knows what he wants to do with the ball. He knows what direction he wants to go. And we have another central midfielder or someone playing in that deeper hole and role. I literally can't think of a player, the last player that we had who central midfielder, who knew what he wanted to do with the ball as soon as he had it. He's so neat. I know you made the comment that, because of his long legs, it's almost as if he kind of glides across the pitch. And
yeah.
That really is the case. Obviously, with that being his first game in a long time, I think it was his first club game in about a year or so, and even that was a substitute appearance for Barcelona. But for that to be his first game at Goodison Park, obviously there are, you've got to account for some nerves there. And if that's his first time on the pitch, nervy performance, as Paul said, that's his baseline, we're in for a real good player. It's like he's only on loan and we're finding ourselves like attached to him because he's solving all these problems that we've had from the deeper midfield, that lack of creativity on the ball. And off the ball, he doesn't look too bad either because, we didn't see him particularly exposed. We're commenting on how much he liked to keep his head up, look forward and thread the ball forward. But that being said, he still didn't get caught out going back, really. I think he lost possession once or twice, but they weren't in dangerous areas by any means. And he's been so impressive since he's come in, both from the footballing aspect and from a human aspect as well. Seeing what he did with Everton community is absolutely fantastic. How he's kind of took to the club, and if you see how he conducts himself on social media, it seems like he's fully in love with the club too. That's going to be quite a separation when he's going to have to leave. But I don't want to think about that just yet. I just want to think about his majestic beard and how he patrols the midfield. He's just an absolute dream to watch. And things can only go up from here.
Yeah, Max, we don't want to talk to Klaus on a sunny day. Mm. think about having to let go of Gomez. I found another quote on from his Valencia days, which I thought was interesting, from the Y Scout website. They said that Andre Gomez's true secret is his completeness. And they were talking about this one particular play. During that play, he's the first to mark a man after his team loses possession. He shuts down the opposing team's initiative and then facilitates his team's counterattack. He's not going to be tough tackling. That's just not his game. He's not Idrissa Gueye.
He's Spanish. He's Portuguese. Brought up in the Spanish league. There's that technical emphasis that comes from the Spanish game that he just has in abundance. He's so good technically that it's a joy to watch. And he's just like me. It's like Mikel Arteta again. It's a joy. It's an absolute joy.
Yeah, I like the fact he's 6'2". So we got some. You're getting some height in the middle. Mm. You're getting some a physical presence, and he can use that to kind of shepherd the other team off the ball. But what I gather defensively, what's impressive to me, despite the fact that he has 29 caps for Portugal, he's got experience. All right, so he plays defensively. It's less, hey, I'm going to go crunch into you and dispossess you. He's going to play more intelligently as far as playing off the ball defense. Mm. All right, he knows positionally where he needs to be. It's such a, I don't know, just it's less of a crunching way of approaching it. It's more of a aesthetically pleasing, you know what I mean? Just let me just ease into this and I'll, you know what? You don't want the ball. I'll just put you over here and I'll get it. You know, you see so much of that, you know, just gliding in.
Just it seems like what Marco Silva wants from his central midfielders. And I think only Luca Dean and Idrissa Gueye had more touches in the entirety of the game against Crystal Palace than Andre Gomez. So for that to be, just to reiterate it again, for that to be his, obviously he had that behind closed doors 60 minutes, but for that to be his first professional game for Everton, there's lots more to come. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of it.
We're not getting ahead of ourselves. We're just excited. Mm-hmm. We're not ready to crown him.
Well, you'd definitely say he's included in our best starting 11 now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think you have to. Mm-hmm. He's somebody we were hoping. I don't know. I feel like we got the debut we were hoping for. It was sort of a what would have been better if he does an overhead kick into the upper 90? You know, I mean that's not his game. That's not what he does. I feel like he gave us the debut we were hoping for. Mm. You know, I want to see how he plays. You know, against when the other teams run in Matic and Pogba. You know, the article in question was actually comparing Gomez to Pogba in terms of when Pogba was with Juve. All right?
Interesting.
So it was interesting, the comparisons. They were talking about passes completed and how their numbers looked similar. Juve era Pogba is not bad.
Mm.
Bad at all. So, guys, I guess anything else on Gomez besides, hey, keep it up so we can keep smiling?
Yeah, keep it up and don't make us look stupid.
I agree with that. Mm. I don't like that.
Whatever you do, don't shave that beard because it's just gorgeous. It's as gorgeous as you like.
Now watch, he's the jerk who could probably shave the beard. He looks better without it. These good looking guys. That always ticks me off. I always joke to my wife. I'm like, see a guy like that? I'm like, wait, he's good at football and he's good looking? That's not fair. That's bullshit. That's not cool. They should have to be bad at football if they look like that. That's not right.
All right. No.
Anyway. So I guess that's it. for our Andre Gomez segment. If you want to check out If You Know Your History, which is the Everton-based quiz that will pit a it's a cage match pitting Paul versus Max in a number conundrum-based trivia showdown. All right, yeah, it's we're not sure how it's going to work out. Quizmaster John has yet again dropped more punishment on our fellows. So we'll see how that works out. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz show that pits two able-minded Evertonian lads in a test of wits and might to see who will be able to get the honor of picking the tune that closes the show. This time, we've got Paul and Max.
Hello.
Definitely not me, because I would not fit into this equation at all. It'd be a very quick, end for myself. So, the way this is going to work this time, I'm assuming most of you have actually been able to tune in and heard how we do this quiz a lot of times. Well, if you have, apologies, because this is going to work differently. Quizmaster John has designed a number conundrum for these gentlemen. All right, so what they'll have to do is math will be involved.
Oh,
just saying, gentlemen, math.
That's me out of it already. took me ages to get a C at GCSE maths. So I'm going to do this.
Well, and I
don't have a C at GCSE maths. I never got one.
It took me about fucking 5 years to get one. It took me so long to get a C at GCSE.
I took it 3 times, and I came closest the first time.
Oh, it's painful, isn't it? I think I must have got it 5 times altogether. Oh, this standing us in really good stead coming into this numbers quiz. I can't fucking wait for it.
Well, I think it'll be okay, guys. I don't think it's as hard as you're building it up.
Right.
Okay, I don't think it is. Right. But yeah, Quizmaster John does tend to like you to stretch your brain. So the way this will work is you'll get 30 seconds. I will say begin. I've got a timer right here. It's not about who finishes first. Okay, that's not it at all. However, both of you have 30 seconds to solve this math Everton riddle, essentially. I will be asking this at the same time to both these guys, and they'll have 30 seconds to put it all together. So it might involve transfer fees, it might involve squad numbers, it might involve number of goals a player scored, things like that, and it's just an equation.
Okay.
Essentially, that's what it boils down to, is an equation.
Is it first to three, first to two? Or?
No. This is just one math problem. Okay. One Everton math problem, and you guys will have 30 seconds to solve it. The closest one wins. If you are tied, I have a tiebreaker question. If at that point you are still tied, I will pick the tune.
Okay. Oh, yes. I don't mind losing, though. I fucking want to delve into Jerry's iPod.
I don't know if you want to go to that place. It's a dark, dark place, my friend. All right, guys. So... do we understand what's happening for the most part, gentlemen?
Yeah. Is there any need to write anything down if it's going to be one?
You might have a need to write something down.
Okay.
You might.
Okay. No cheating.
Okay,
go on.
This is true. Okay. So, I am not going to include my reading in the timer. Okay? That just seems fair. All right? So, cue... intense game show music. And there it is. So, gentlemen, add Christian Atsu's old squad number and Ashley Williams' old squad number times Tony Hibbert's last squad number minus Bilyatinov's.
you lost me at Ashley Williams' number. Then what is it after that?
Okay, add Christian Atsu's old squad number, Ashley Williams' old squad number, times Tony Hibbert's last squad number, minus Bilyat Dadinov's overall transfer fee.
Oh.
Begin.
When we sold him or when we bought him?
I'm assuming when we bought him.
So Christian Atsu's old number plus Ashley Williams' old number times Tony Hibbert's last squad number minus the fee that we bought Bilyat Dadinov for.
Yes.
Right, can you just confirm that? Say that, because I was getting it as you were saying it. I just didn't get it.
Christian Atsu's squad number. Christian Atsu's old squad number. Ashley Williams' old squad number. So you add those.
Yeah.
Times Tony Hibbert's last squad number minus Bilyat. I screw this guy's name up every time I see it. Bilyat Dadinov. Overall transfer fee.
Okay. Times the transfer fee.
Minus the transfer fee.
Shit, man. Minus the transfer fee.
I think it's a very low number.
Just a singular million.
Yeah.
Say if it was 5 million, we'd be taking away 5.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to fucking be taking away millions from a double digit.
Yeah. No, not millions. Yeah.
If we bought him for 20, it's 20. If we bought him for 2, it's 2. You know, 2 million, it's
okay.
2.
All right, you guys finished? Because I've kind of had to wave bye-bye to the timer because of all your questions.
I'm not confident, but I've given my best.
All right. And, okay, time's up.
I'm in a bit of a Billy Aletinov hole here, rabbit hole, trying to figure out what we bought them for, what we sold them for. Did we sell them for less than what we bought them for?
What we bought him for.
I'm just curious because I want to know if I've got this number on the head.
Countdown clock.
Yeah, it's it. Woo! See, I know that because of IT Crowd.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's the only way I know that show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not confident, but I've got the answer I'm going to go with.
Okay. So, Paul, your answer.
The overall... Do you want me to read out, the answers to all questions or just my final, answer I'm submitting?
You can do both. Go ahead.
Yeah, tell me if I'm wrong at the end. I'll read out what I think. The Atsu one was the one that threw me. I think he was number 22 plus 5. Ashley Williams' old number is 27. Times 2, that was Tony Hibbert's last number. That's 54. Minus, was it 9 to make it 45? Did we buy him for 9 million and then we sold him for maybe roughly the same? I could be wrong. That's what I've got.
Okay, Max, let me hear what you have to say.
I'm pretty certain on Atsu's number. I think it was, 19 plus 5, which is 24, times 2, which is Tony Hibbert's number, 48. Take away 9 million, and take away 9, 39.
All right. Christian Atsu's old number was 19.
Yeah, I'm a squad numbers geek. I know them things. Don't.
Plus Ashley Williams' old squad number 5 times Tony Hibbert's last squad number 2.
Please be 9 million. Please be 9 million.
Minus 9 equals 39.
I shouldn't have gone first, man. He didn't have 9 till I said it.
I was thinking that, man. Paul, I was like, Max, say 9?
Yeah, I believe it.
Yep. I can confirm for podcaster people, he did write it down. Yeah. He just showed us.
That's whose number threw me. I couldn't get that. He was, that tells you everything. There was nothing to remember about. He was terrible.
To be frank, guys, though, that's it's a pretty solid performance from both of you. Good stuff. Yeah, the tiebreaker question.
Bogged ourselves down enough to actually put in a decent showing. So, well done, Paul. We did well.
Well, you guys were all concerned about how hard this was going to be, and you both did well.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm quite sure we bought Billy Onetov for what we sold him for, essentially. It was just we didn't make any money because he didn't play well enough during his time here for us to make any money. And
evidently, we sold him for $6 million, like $6.03 million.
We took a loss. Ooh.
Yeah.
It really wasn't good.
So the tiebreaker question, what was Tony Hibbert's squad number in the 2003-2004 season?
28.
28?
Paul is correct. It was 28.
Well done, Paul.
Look at this. You know, Max wins in regulation, but Paul takes overtime. You know, it takes the extra time. This is how it works. So, however, no points for the extra time win there, Paul. Sadly, but good work. Max, what do we got, Max? Dig deep into your iPod, my friend. What song do you want to end the show with?
It's like it's in me bracket of like when I say my favorite song, I've got like a bracket of two songs that I just kind of just I use I either say one or the other, so I'm gonna use one of them. No Role Models by J. Cole.
No Role Models by J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this will be an education for me. I don't know who that is, and I don't think I've ever heard that song.
Fayetteville. Is that close to you? North Carolina?
Fayetteville's really close to me.
That's where he's from.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you haven't heard of him then.
Dude, that's in my state.
Yeah.
I used to play State Cup there every year.
Yeah, that's where he's from.
You know, it's a kind of an there's an army base there.
Yeah, his dad was in the army, and I think he was born in Germany. But yeah, he's originally from Fayetteville, and I think that's where he was raised mostly. It's either him or Kendrick that people say are the king of the rap game at the minute. I go for Cole myself. He's like the current. He's the one wearing. He's wearing the.
Okay, I'm psyched. I'm gonna check this out now. Yeah, I'm psyched to put this in the show.
I saw him live in October at the Manchester Arena. He was absolutely fantastic. He's so cool. I like so many of his songs, and No Role Models is one of the kind of the bandwagoner songs that people who don't really like him say that they like. But it literally, it like from the beat to the bars, like it's up there with his best. And it's probably one that if you haven't listened to him before and you listen to it, you might like it. But he's got a bit of something out there for everyone. It's interesting if you look at him, his career, like he's wised up as he's got older. His kind of his subject matter has gone on to more like deep and serious things. I think he's in his 30s now. And as I said,
that tends to happen when we yeah. See, this is good. I come on here, come on the show, and I can learn about this, and I can go out into the world and talk about this and appear way more cool and hip than I actually am.
I'm in the corner for me.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, no idea. That's crazy. It's about a 3-hour drive for me.
Oh, fucking hell, that's not round the corner then for us.
Yeah, for us, yeah. For us, that's nearby.
That's Birmingham for us.
Yeah, that's
easy. I see, perspective-wise, you know, like you guys, yeah, but for us, it's like, I mean, that's like driving to the beach. Okay. All right. All right, well, as we play you out to No Role Models by J. Cole, that's it for the big show. So if you've been listening via podcast, please subscribe to the Top of the Loose podcast. We'd really appreciate it. Rate it if you can. Leave a kind review that says, I'm bummed. I wanted to hear more Casey and the Sunshine Band. Paul, what happened? You know? Something like that.
No, out of interest, I had Jay Rafferty, Baker Street. No case you this week. Don't worry, I'll win at some point now, but I'm definitely a Jerry, don't worry.
All right, so yeah, also, if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, please check that out and subscribe. The subs are slowly rolling in on that. It's yeah. So if you want to see our faces, if you ever, what would possess you for that? Just saying. If you wanted to do that, you could check us out on YouTube. Yeah. Check out Max on the Top of Blues website, but also check his Twitter profile. You can find him all over the place. He'll tell you what kind of podcast he's on. Paul's also on the Liverpool Echo fan jury, but he's also on the Toffee Blues website. Both these guys drop knowledge on there. Toffee Blues website's a great place for Everton football analysis, so check it out. Also subscribe to the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I am out of plugging. I am unplugged. Allison Chang's unplugged. No more. Okay, that's it. I want to thank the guys. Paul, thanks so much, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Yeah, Max, you as well, man.
Pleasure, as always.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. This has been us. So come on, you Blues. Make it happen this weekend. So, bye.